and let them have dominion.
The kingdom of God is within people. It's the advancement of the people that is advancement
because
of the kingdom.
Faith must be backed by
the assignment of this ministry is found from that verse.
You're onto a word encounter as Pastor David Ogbeli ministers God's word to you with simplicity and power. God bless you.
He created them to control the earth, to control the circumstances on earth, just like God controls the heavenlies.
Last night I said there are three people you don't fight. You don't fight your life source. Just like you shouldn't go and fight God. Don't fight your parents. Don't fight your mentors either. Okay. You don't fight your own son. You don't fight your proteges. Those battles should be delegated. The one about higher power should be transferred to a higher authority. In other words, if he's in an organization and you notice that the management over you is out to frustrate you like Saul, seek for a higher authority over him. And take that case then. It could be in a church. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If not, living for God, God takes care of such things. Let me just read once. Ephesians chapter 6. Servants, verse 5. Be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. And he's talking about how to operate in the workplace. Then he said that word servant. He's talking about employees, how to relate to management. Okay. Be obedient to your masters in the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, as unto the Lord, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing a man doeth, the same he shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Everyone said whether he be bond or free. Now that statement means whether he is the boss or the servant. If your boss is trying to maltreat you, don't worry, there is a higher power that will also take care of him. But if you that is also under, you are the one misbehaving, he's not the only higher power. The present power can take care of you. Whether he be bond or free, whatsoever good you do, the same you will receive. So you realize that because you are a leader in the making that is on a journey, you don't want to face that problem in future. So you don't want to sow that seed now. You understand what I'm saying? Because you're going to have it. That's why when there are such mistakes, correct them. Somewhere now, God starts taking you into your own leadership journey and you get to a point. You start reaping things, but you know, you just sow them anyhow. And David saved himself from a lot of problems by obeying these principles. Whatever good a man doeth, the same. Whatever he sowed when he was under, that's what he will reap when he will be on top. He sowed disloyalty, he's going to reap it. Whatever a man doeth, the same thing is what he will get from the Lord. Now, the sword that is constantly oppressing David, he's going to reap. Because he's going to end up without successor. Without a successor. And verse 9 says, ye master, do the same things to them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. God wrote to parents and wrote to children, wrote to husbands and wrote to wives, wrote to employers of labor and wrote to the employees. He had principles governing both relationships. He wrote to pastors and wrote to congregation. If you know the two ends, you stay balanced, you have the boundaries of truth. He said, for you also have a master in heaven, and neither is there respect of person with him. God is no respecter of person. He doesn't say because he's our God. No, God respects authority. But if the man also in authority misbehaves, you can see how he dealt with Saul. But he doesn't authorize the man under authority to take laws into his hand. Even in a normal society, we don't do that. You end up being a convict. Colossians, you know, there's another way. The same thing was said in the book of Colossians. Chapter 3, verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. That's your boss, all of that. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing the Lord. Verse 23, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Amazingly, these principles also bring fast promotion in the workplace. This kind of dedication to duty and, you know, commitment to fulfilling your job descriptions and other bring fast promotion. But then look at verse 24. Read verse 24 with me, one, two, go. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Then verse 25. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done, and there is no what? Respect of persons. Look at chapter 4 verse 1. It's the same thing, is continuing. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal. It's talking about remuneration system. Don't cheat people who work for you, whether they are Christians or not. Pay them what is fair. Give to them that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. A lot of people have crippled their businesses and their organizations because of how they are treating people who are working, knowing that there is also somebody, a higher power, that is watching what you are doing. You see, he that doeth wrong, verse 24-25, shall receive for the wrong which he has done, for there is no respect of person. Ephesians said, whatever good also you do, you also get it. Now, notice the life of David, that somewhere in his journey, there was a time he made mistakes. When he was under, it was Saul making the mistake. He refused to get involved. Let God take care of it. If there are higher powers like prophets, let the prophets come and rebuke him. But now I'm a man under his. I will not be the one to do that. So later in his own time, he blew it. He also made mistakes and got involved in adultery and a few other things. And then, of course, a prophet was sent to come and declare judgment on him. He repented. God forgave him. But then one of his sons took law into his hand and was going to be the one to remove David and take over. Did you see how God settled that one? Absalom. Why didn't he allow him to do that? If David had shed the blood of Saul or done some crazy things, that was his own day of reward. The event, the seed has gone full cycle. Seed time has now met the harvest time. That's the day he should have died. But God looked at the record. This man didn't. So I will not allow him to reap what he did not sow. Did you hear what I just said? Mordecai had the opportunity. He was at the gate of the king's house and saw where a queue was being planned that would take the king's life and overthrow him. He reported it and quenched that queue because those guys were. And then one day, as time went on, a man in power arranged how to eliminate Mordecai by a piece of power, Haman. The Bible said that night the king could not sleep. Who was troubling him? Who was troubling him? There's a law of sowing and reaping here. Who was troubling him? He could not sleep. He called for the book of Chronicles to be read before him. As they were reading, they got to the point where they read about that there is a man who played a role to save his life some years ago, and the man was not remembered, was not rewarded. So he asked them, what was done for this man called Mordecai? They said, nothing, sir. He said, he saved my life. Nothing was done for him. He said, something must be done immediately. Send for Haman. And when Haman came, he said, what do you think the king should do for the man he has chosen to honor? The guy thought it was him. He now listed, give him this, give him 20 times promotion, double his salary, send him on trip abroad, give him of 200 official cars, give him house, personal house. Of course, all these things you give him, don't call it official car, give it, it should be his own. He deserves it. And other, he thought he was the one. When he finished doing, king gave order, go and bring Mordecai the Jew. And do order. You see, when the full cycle went round, it's time to collect back what you sowed. They wanted to give him what he did not sow. God said, no way. There are higher powers. There are higher powers. Promotion does not come from the east or from the west. It does not come from the south. It comes from the Lord God. There is a cup in the hand of the Lord, the Bible said, is mixed with wine, and the wine is an intoxicating wine, is red in color. That wine is what takes care of proud people, arrogant people, rebellious people. He gives them that wine to drink. It intoxicates them. Power intoxicates. Pride intoxicates. And then they end up in self-destruction. There's also another wine that is sweet. He administers to those he promotes. When they are serving in secret, nobody sees them. Nobody could say, don't worry, my friend. Your day is coming. Are you hearing what I'm saying? David said, I was looking after my father's sheep. The bear and the lion came. I risked my life to save the sheep. Will you do that when the sheep is not your own? God said, see this man. And he promoted him from looking after his father's sheep to looking after Israel. Okay, these parts tell of three kings, Saul, Absalom, and David. Absalom, the king, heir to the throne, but he won't wait. He wants to kill the man in authority in order to grab it. Saul, the king on the throne, but he wants to kill the one that will succeed him. And now David, he refuses to fight his father, he refuses to fight his son, and then of course he refuses to fight his brother, which was Jonathan. And refuses to fight Jonathan's descendants. Because what people don't know is that somewhere along the line, even Ahithophel, that was Jonathan's son, messed up one time. But David did not kill him. It is this brotherly part that I want to make a little adjustment in, so that, you know, we can get it in perspective. The scripture laid a procedure for engaging in a war against a brother. It's only on that condition. First of all, there is one instance, there are two conditions under which you can fight a fellow brother. Number one is when the battle is not really your battle. It's not you and him. It's your father's battle. For example, when Michael was instructed to take Lucifer, he shouldn't say his brother. No. Lucifer has insulted your father. Even in your natural house, your younger brother starts insulting your father, or maybe tries to beat up your mother, you should be giving dirty words. Beat him. Beat him up. Give him some wood. I'm telling you the truth. Beat him well, especially when the parents are aging. If you can't beat him, combine with the others and beat him well. Let me tell you what David was thinking. He didn't actually want them to kill Absalom. He was planning that at the final time, you see how he delegated, if you read that chapter, he delegated, was planning at the final time, he will call whosoever that will take care of this guy. But that would be too dangerous because this particular one was violent. It's not just the type that will be planning rebellion. He was now ready to gather. And of course, Joab took care of him. You know, part of the fruit of the Spirit is peacemaking. It's peace. It's peace. Peace means reconciliation. Live at peace with all men and with holiness. Without which what? No eye shall see you. But the Bible said, as much as lieth in you. In other words, there are some people that are not just peaceable. Covenant forbids you to fight brothers. You can fight the Philistines, you can fight the Egyptians, but when it comes to a member of that same covenant, you don't even find the holy people fighting themselves. You don't find them doing it, but you find Christians doing it. Kingdom of God has suffered so much because of it. Because one of the power of our testimony is that the Bible said that when the world sees us as one, then they know that you have sent me. He said, Father, I pray that they might be one as we are one, that the world might know that you have sent me. The other part said, you love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. So when love breaks down and reconciliation and peace breaks down among God's people, is the worst testimony and message we send out to the people. It's not just what we do with ourselves. We hinder a lot of people that should come to Christ for coming to Christ. When it happens within a church, a lot of young believers are wounded, disoriented. Many of them backslide and go back into the world and start all kinds of crazy things. We have had cases even in this city where Sunday morning a church broke into fire and they were using chairs on one another. That is height of irresponsibility. Because these laws, these things we're talking about, were not put into people's selfish ends and ambition overruled the covenant, and there are consequences for such things. Where such things happen and the people that are involved watch them for years. Except where torment is made and serious repentance is brought over such things. A lot of casualties we suffer, hindrances, problems because of this in-house thing. If you live in a family where siblings are at each other's neck, there is no other kind of enmity worse than that. You don't need any other demon. You don't need any. They will take care of themselves. Jesus said, if Satan's kingdom is divided against himself, then we don't need to be casting him out. Because they were saying, you are casting out devil by Beelzebub. He said, if he is like that, nobody needs to help the devil. They will destroy himself. He said, if kingdom is divided against himself, they will get himself finished. But he is not. Demons cooperate. They network. When you cast one out, you go and look for seven others worse than himself to come and help him if he ever gets in the next time. And they fortify the place. They are not fighting themselves. Don't they ever believe that they are. Because if they are, they don't need us. They will have finished themselves since. Satan's kingdom is organized. And then we want to come against him in disorder. That's what Jesus was trying to point out in that explanation. He said, if you see a stronger being subdued, know that somebody stronger than him came and overpowered him, bound him, and spoiled his good. Don't think he's set on throwing away his own goods. Then he will be a foolish man. How can his kingdom stand? I have studied it. They all courts. You don't see them even sue each other in the courts. You know, different environments have different challenges. And you know, the East, we have had it rough here. That's why in the political arena everywhere, if you give a slot to Western Nigeria for Senate, they might bring out two people and finally one of them will get it. If you give to the North, if care is not taken, they will just bring out one person. In these days now, they are beginning to disagree over, they can bring out two or whatever, then finally one of them will get it. If you give the slot to the East, there will be 200. Then it will be the North that will decide, okay, let's select 16. Judges chapter 20. Let me show you something so you take note of it. There are battles that when you win, it will not be sweet. Because the person you massacred is your brother. There are battles that even when you win it, it will still not be sweet. A wise man says, okay, battles are within war. So you don't want to win the battle and lose the war. Like you don't want to be penny wise and pound. Say, I dealt with them. This business, it was hot. Can you imagine? We collected a few. We negotiated. You didn't know that you lost pounds. That's how it is. We're fighting with brethren. Whatever you think you are achieving, what you are losing, what you are throwing away is far more. Okay, Judges chapter 20, there is actually an event that happened here. It was among the children of Israel. Remember, the 12 tribes were bound in covenant to form one nation. Because soon now, we're going to show you how to finally integrate Nigeria. You see this Hausa, Igbo, Wahala, Yoruba, is national integration. You see, Nigeria have been trying to achieve that for years, and they have not been able to do it. Is achieved through covenant. That's why nations that lay their foundation by having what is called national contrast, like US in 1620 had the Mayflower Covenant. Most of those 50 states, you know, are different colonies. Many of them are not even English people. They came there on their own different interests. How do you galvanize interest even in your organization? How do you build a ministry where powerful people, each one is not running away to camper and all that? How do you build a David army, for example? What do you think David used to build the mighty men? If not, those mighty men who have created Israel into 30 different nations. It's called national contrast. It's bringing a whole nation, bring representatives of a nation to form a covenant. And a covenant is not forced, just like marriage. There is discussion of terms. And it is during that discussion of time that the interests of all the people are represented. A constitution now is a written form of a covenant that binds a people. A constitution is supposed to start with, we the people of this nation, not something you made up somewhere and imposed on the people. We the people of this nation came together in agreement, agreed to rule ourselves by this. Then out of constitution, that covenant that binds the nation, you now develop your bylaws, your laws and bylaws. That's how Israel was built. That's how UK was built. That's how America was built. And those nations are the nations that endure. So 12 stones representing 12 tribes were used to lay the foundation of this nation. And they were given a written constitution in Exodus chapter 20. And then in their own time, said blood was sprinkled on them. And they became one nation. If you don't know, when they had, because these 12 tribes came from four women. Jacob had four wives, you remember? Two legitimate and two. And there were all kinds of quarrels among those men, women. The two that were even sisters, Rachel and Rhea. Wahala. You go and read it. The children came out, wahala. It was 11 of them that, or 10 of them that teamed up and sold one. Eh? So there were challenges that if you don't galvanize, you don't build a house by just assembling blocks. Nigeria is an assemblage of ethnic nationalities, nothing holding them. There is no cement. Can you imagine this building? You just assemble blocks. What is between block and block? Between the block and his brother, nothing, no covenant. You just assemble people in a company. Say three of you want to pioneer this business, and you start bringing money. When the crisis time comes, you will see. You will be surprised that same person you thought was your friend, over just 20 million or 2 million profit that came out from somewhere. So that book you are carrying is filled with covenants between God and men, and between men and men. And covenants that bind nations. And if that covenant now is given the vertical side, then you can actually say, this is one nation under God. I don't know whether I was in Lagos up to 2 years. I have been called to lay hands on at least, I think it was about, the list was about 30 people that are promoted into either a CEO as top management executives. And they will just enter the office, sometimes that very day, sometimes within 1 week, they are paralyzed. There were many that we helped, there were some that we lost and they died. And go and check it. All those 13 people are for here. But today they think it's just wearing tie, it just made you man, just come and sit. One just sat down, something stung him, half of his body went. That very day, this thing was finished, he came on Monday, and that was, he collapsed. And they called me, and you have to drive that third mainland bridge to get there. Why they came to rush him to the hospital? He died. His family called me, the wife knew me. And the guy that sent the scorpion to sting him was put in that seat. The Bible says, you shall tread over serpents and scorpions. If you like, don't develop your faith. Think it's just a matter of politics, think it's just a matter of work. Maybe now you are in the East, you think you're all right. Let them push you out of this place. See, I'm a self-made man. I work hard for my skills. I wrote a lot of professional exams. That's how I came here. You don't need God. Congratulations. There is a lion den waiting for you. And not just prison, like in the case of Joseph. They're moving from prison to pit. First in prison, and finally inside a pit dungeon. Good man. Godly man, a man of integrity. Okay. Judges chapter 20. Now, what happened here? You will see how war starts. It's a tribal problem that was started by just one man. What happened is that a priest had a concubine, and the concubine ran after other men. But it looks like that relationship that started without meeting all the standard, over time the man came to love the woman, because she was sent away, or she ran away back to her father's house. And so this priest decided to travel to a different, another tribe in Israel, to go and talk to her favorably. I still love you, even though you messed up, you slept around, and I want this relationship to move on to the next level. I'm even ready now to maybe see your parents, and this move transferred from concubine to wife. You become my wife and all of that. And so he went, and the father was so happy of the girl, the in-law. He entertained him so well. But the man kept delaying them from going. He kept delaying them. You need to read the story. He would give them throw party. They would drink. Remember, he's a priest. He's supposed to be a minister of God. They would drink, get merry. He would forget that he's supposed to be going and stay again. This thing happened first day, second day, third. One day the man now got angry. He said, we are leaving today, no matter what. But by this time, the sun was going down. And he insisted and took his wife and took off. But of course, the sun caught up with them. This time they were in one of the tribes of Israel. And it was the section of the Benjamites, the tribe of Benjamin. But like during that period, there were a lot of things that happened in the nation of Israel. A group of sons of Berea, that's what you call area boys in Nigeria, rascals, got up. First of all, they tried, because God taught the children of Israel, if you see a stranger, one of your brethren like that in the street, accommodate him. But he tried from family to family, nobody was ready to take them in. And he will explain to them, we have enough money, I have food, I have everything, I don't need to eat anything for your house, not even to drink your water. We have enough. It's just where to have shelter so that tomorrow we can continue our journey. And nobody allowed him to stay. And they stayed in the street until it was getting dark. An old man now saw him and said, no, this place is not good for you. This is not the kind of street you sleep, you stay in. You will get raped, things can happen. Come into my house. And they went in. But by this time, the youth have seen them. So the moment they got that, they came and started banging on that door. Let that man come out that we might know him. If you have read the story of Lot and what the children of Sodom did, exactly the same thing. That we might know him. These are homosexuals. And the owner of the house, the old man, came out and met them. He said, you are my brethren. Don't do this wickedness. The man has come under my roof. If you have met him in the streets, it would have been a different thing. He's under my roof. They say, no way. He did what Lot did. He brought out his daughter. He said, this is my daughter. He doesn't know. These are virgins. All of you can do anything you like to the girl. And he brought out all the maids in the house, all the servant ladies, and gave, say, sleep with all of them till morning. But please don't do this to a stranger. Have you seen how these men keep covenant? This is one man in a corrupt city that is walking in covenant that God gave to the children of Israel. The rest have forgotten. But now watch. They said no. So finally, the man went and told the man, you have to bring your concubine. If not, you are actually the one they want to. So, you see, he's in love with this lady. He had just gone and concluded marriage arrangements. He had to surrender her. And this whole, I don't know how many number, we're not given a number, slept with one girl, one woman, throughout the whole night, early hours of the morning. Israel, things that can happen even among covenant people, the early hours of the morning. And of course, she staggered and got to the door of the house. In the morning, when they opened the door, she rolled away and collapsed. And of course, the priest, the husband, tried to wake her up. There was no more life. So he took knife and divided that woman, the corpse, the body, into 12 pieces. And sent one part, parceled it to the 12 tribes of Israel. You people need to see what has taken place in Israel and then judge. When the elders of Israel, you know, you can imagine human part, leg passed to us here, head passed to Church of God Mission, hand passed to Grace of God, you know, churches in the city. It's a distance was committed within the body of Christ. You know the kind of service is going on now. We'll bring head. I said this something that happened though in this city. Oh, that Reverend so so and so, his wife was raped, and he was raped by some people who attend one church and all that. If I ask you, let's cut head, you will agree. Because the kind of anger that arises at such moments, I say we are going there, we are burning that place down, we are going to. You agree? That is the story. So I'll read one or two texts now to show you what happened. Chapter 20. Then all the children of Israel went out. The congregation was gathered together as one man from Dan even to Beersheba. And the chief of the people, even the tribes of Israel, presented themselves in the assembly of the people of God, 400,000 footmen that drew sword. Now the children of Benjamin heard that the children of Israel were gone up to Mizpah, and said to the children of Israel, tell us, how was this wickedness done? Of course, the Levite told his story, and then he ended up saying in verse 7, behold, you are the children of Israel, give your advice and counsel what we are going to do. Verse 12. If you read 8 to 11, you see that all everybody agreed that it's time to fight. But there's something they did first, verse 12. The tribes of Israel sent men all through the tribe of Benjamin, saying, what wickedness is this that is done among you? Now, therefore, deliver us the men, the children of Belial, which are in Gibeah, that we may put them to death and put away evil from Israel. But the children of Benjamin will not hearken to the voice of their brethren, the children of Israel. And so now Israel gathered their men and got ready for war. Surrender the boys that did this thing. Let's kill them and remove evil from Israel. They refused. Is this not just one church? And we have the whole PFM. So the rest of the 11 tribes gathered together, we're going to wipe them out. And I want you to see what they did. First of all, the number of footmen or soldiers fighting for Israel were 400,000. At the start in verse 15, the number of people that drew the sword fighting for the children of Benjamin were only 6,000. You can see that they don't have a chance. 6,000 people are going to face a whole nation of 400,000 warriors. You have seen the ratio. 6,000 versus 400,000. Because it's 11 tribe versus 1 tribe. But let's see now. Verse 17. And the men of Israel, apart from the children of Benjamin, were numbered 400 men that drew sword. These were men of war. And verse 18, and the children of Israel arose and went up to the house of God and asked counsel of God and said, which of us shall go first to battle against the children of Benjamin? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up first. Who will lead us? Normally, the tribe of Judah is the leading tribe. He said, Judah should lead you. They went to God. They prayed before going to this war. And verse 20, and the men of Israel went out to battle against Benjamin. And the men of Israel put themselves in array to fight against them at Gibeah. And the children of Benjamin came forth out of Gibeah and destroyed down to the ground of the children of Israelites that day 22,000 men. Now, the battle was fought in three stages. This is phase one. 400,000 went against 6,000 men, and the people that were more in number who had 400,000. And if you check, there should be the ones that are right. They should be the ones that are right. From among them, 22,000 died. What about the people they went to kill? They didn't lose anybody. How do you analyze God? Which side is he fighting? Okay, there are angels that normally accompany the children of Israel to battle. You can see that they took side with a smaller group. Why? This is what we need to find out. When some of you who believe in hearing from God want to go to God to hear, should I leave my husband? You might hear something. Say it's God that is leading you. What about the law, the principle, the book you are carrying? Does it say to do it? And look at the question they asked. They didn't ask, should we even go to the war in the first place? They asked, who will lead us? He said, Judah should lead you. They lost 22,000 people. These are the paradox sections of the Bible where you hear people who say they went to hear from God and believe that God is the one that, and yet they are in a mess. What law are they violating that is turning this battle against them? Let's get back. Everyone say covenant. Say it again, covenant. Now, there is a way to fight, brothers. I will show you how to meet the standard that you can fight. But watch. The second phase of the battle. This verse 22. So, take care of what happened. The number of people that died, they went back to church. And the people, the men of Israel, encouraged themselves and set their battle again in array. And in the place where they put themselves in array, they faced them. But this time, and the children of Israel went up and wept before the Lord. There was another intercession, prayer meeting, to carry warfare against another church. And the children of Israel went and wept before the Lord until evening and asked counsel of the Lord, saying, shall I go up again to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother? Circle that word, my word. Circle it. That's the problem here. I want to go and fight my brother. Will you help me do it? And amazingly, the Lord said, go up against him. Are you seeing that? It's like when God asks questions, he's not asking you questions because he doesn't know the answer. He's asking you for you to see something. He's using the law of two or three witnesses so that they can learn something. He said, go ahead. Verse 24. And the children of Israel came up near against the children of Benjamin the second day. And Benjamin went forth against them at Gibeah the second day and destroyed down to the ground of the children of Israel again 18,000 men, all these that drew sword. First time they lost 22,000. Second time they lost 18,000. Add all of them, it will be 40,000. And in each case, they prayed before going and asked the Lord. They heard from God. The day you will slap your pastor, it might even be God that will appear to you in the night to slap you. Haven't you noticed that those who divide churches, who start rebellion, who scatter, always hear fraud? Did you notice where Absalom launched his rebellion? He took some people and said he was going to offer a sacrifice and gathered Joab and a few others from church sacrifice. He launched a move to hit David down. Eastern Nigeria, what have we not seen? Look at national transmission. Can Dominion City do it? No. Can your church do it? No. Can you ordinary your that small business that I do it? No. It will require an army. We have to come together. And what is the greatest problem here? Something that fights unity. Because what that unit required is each person to lay down self. So the people can't have a voice because they can't come together there. And each person only gets to where his own personal strength and skill can carry him in plateaus. And that is it. That is it. But I want you to know, and I know that there are people from different parts of the country, but I also want to say this. I can say this here because I'm in Enugu. In the plan of God for the nations, Africa is the next in line. Of course, it's right now. It's our own timing. That's no more a next thing. In the plan of God for Africa, Nigeria is the trigger. In the plan of God for Nigeria, it's not me making it up. I'm not making up this. You need to follow prophetic utterances that have been given, not just in Nigeria, across the continent of Africa, across the world, sometimes in Israel. Is that Nigeria has a major role to play. And this is the time for us to wake up and take back our place. This egocentric ministry, egocentric Christianity, egocentric approach to business is time. And start rising up as leaders that can die for a cause, that can lay down our life for our people. You are strong, you can fight. Let me tell you something. That when you are doing in-house fight and destroying your whatever, if you think you are strong, get strong than when you face the Philistines. Where is your strength when it is the Egyptians? Where is your strength when it's the Babylonians? You just destroy any kingdom that is divided against. How can he have any stand against? It's internally destroyed. It's self-destroyed. So when it comes to having a voice, because the people here have to have enough strength to be able to have a voice in the National Assembly, have a voice in the different areas. Nigeria is being sold out. It's being shared out. What is coming out, coming down here? You can sit down and complain, but one voice cannot do it. Because God set the solitary in families. The families will now come together to form communities, and then the communities will come together to form. And that's how you finally get the nation. When northern interest is at stake, sometimes they forget that you are an AMPP, I'm a PDP, they will come together. Here, if you settle the individual, he betrays the group. And it's happening in the ministry. So, there is a balance between individualism and collectivism or union, the corporate interest. There's a difference. There's a balance in it. You don't destroy the individual. We all have our personal vision and purpose and all that. You don't also destroy this. There are laws, principles that balances that equation. So the children of Israel went the second time and lost. And then verse 26, then all the children of Israel and all the people went up and came into the house of the Lord and wept and sat there before the Lord, fasted that day till evening, and offered burnt offerings and peace offering before the Lord. And the children of Israel inquired of the Lord, for the ark of the covenant of the Lord was there in those days. And Phinehas the son of Eleazar the son of Aaron stood before it in those days, saying, shall I yet again go out to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother? Shall I cease? And the Lord said, go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into your hand. I asked the Lord some questions. He said, number one, as God, I had two problems here. There was two problems there. First, there was need for justice to be done. And God is a just God. But at the same time, there's also the violation of the covenant that holds the tribe. Because they want to wipe out one tribe. And I laid the foundation of this nation on 12 tribes. They want to wipe out one. And when they finish, there will be 11. They have become one tribe weaker than their enemies outside. They said there is a due process rather that they will put into motion. They can judge the wickedness without necessarily destroying the tribe. And so what happened finally is, this is chapter 20 verse. This time around, God helped them, and I want you to see it. So they said, shall I go? Or do I cease? And the Lord said, verse 28, go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into your hand. Now God has committed himself. He said, tomorrow I will give you victory over them. they went. And the children of Benjamin went out against the people and were drawn away from the city and began to smite the people and kill as at other times in the highway of which one goeth up to the house of the Lord. And of course, initially, the children of Benjamin started defeating them again, but they only killed 30 people this time. So they pulled them out of their city. And then the battle turned against them. But God did it. And they wiped out the children of Benjamin. You will see, verse 35, and the Lord smote Benjamin before Israel. And the children of Israel destroyed of the Benjamites that day 25,000 and 100 men. All these that drew sword. Verse 44, there fell of Benjamin 18,000 men. All of these were men of valor. They actually died in sections. I don't want to read all the whole thing. Then you get to verse 46. So all that fell of Benjamin were about 25,000 men that drew the sword. All these were men of valor. But 600 men turned and fled to the wilderness unto the rock Rimon. Chapter 21, look at verse 1. You have won the battle now. You say God should help you. He has helped you. Who did he help you against? Your husband. Who did he help you against? Your own brothers. Okay. Chapter 21, verse 1. Now the men of Israel had sworn in Mizpah, saying, there shall not any of us give his daughter unto the Benjamin to wife. And the people came to the house of God and abode there till evening before God and lifted up their voices and wept sore. Why are you crying? That's not what you do when you win a battle. When you win a battle, you rejoice. Why are they crying now? And they said, O Lord God, why is this come to pass in Israel that there should be today one tribe lacking in Israel? Now they are getting the message. They've won the battle. Rejoice now. Verse 6. And the children of Israel repented. They repented them for Benjamin their brother and said, there is one tribe cut off from Israel this day. I thought you just won a battle. Why are you repenting? In South Africa, I was there ministering one time, and here is this lady. There was a major sponsor of the husband, the pastor's wife. They had a tribal ministry. And one of the businessmen that God gave that ministry that was helping them and all of that. He said God told her to start her own ministry. The wife of the pastor. And of course, God also told the businessman to be her sponsor. They tried. Their mentors, everybody talked to her. You are a helpmate to the man. This is not how you do things. You might have an aspect of this vision that you are, that is entrusted to you. Do it within this. He said, no, this required going out, being on her own, and all of that. And then she left her husband, left her marriage, and went down, amazingly, down the same street where their own church was, and started the next church. And guess what? I was doing exactly what they were doing here. And that businessman went with her, bought her equipment, gave her money and all that. And of course, started sleeping with her. And they started a relationship and all kinds of crazy things. And then for a while, it looked like things were happening. According to when she was telling me, he said, even amazing thing is that the anointing kept flowing. I said to her, don't you know that when you fire a vehicle in motion and it's on speed and fuel, the last drop of fuel just finished, she will still be moving. Especially if it's not climbing a hill or what, it will just keep moving. Inertia is on his side. Because inertia can either keep you in one place or if you're already moving, keep you moving. But then the other forces that will I had walk and I will finally ground that vehicle. That's what happened to her. She finally got grounded. The man got up one day after beating her, breaking her face and all that, called her a slut, called her also something. Say, look at you, a married woman. You don't even have respect for yourself. Come here and all that. And that was it. and went to the church and withdrew all day and carried even the equipment, carried certain things as he bought and took it off and went back to the original pastor and apologized. See, that woman is a devil. She used prophecy to confuse me. Please forgive me, sir. And then all of a sudden, the people started leaving. They started looking for their pastor. One after the other. Forgive us. It's the perception that we had. And then, of course, finally, you know, finances are dwindled and all that. And now she's packed. And so she goes to another church. And she sits down. She was tired because she's into ministry. So she joins their ushering department. And then I came to preach. And here was the lady. She came to talk to me. I called the pastor. I said, do you know about it? He said, yes. I said, what did you do? I said, I didn't do anything. I said, what about attempt to reconcile her back? He said, if it's me, I won't take her back. And she saw me after ministry. He said, the Lord is telling me that you are now my mentor, my father, that you are the one I'm to. That's why in recruitment, in management, you have to ask people why they left their last job, their last company. It will give you clue on where they. Because if they killed their soul and collected his crown, and they come to you, David, you are the next head to go. David kept killing those people who left the wrong way. Especially the one that collected Saul's crown and brought to him. You carry that thing and put on your head. That head will soon join it. Join the crown. You are rebels. Amen. So you see, but what if you wanted to fight a brother? What is the proper procedure? You can see how much time I'm taking into. I'm giving to this because I know what goes on the ground. I say on a Sunday morning, I was called on the phone. What is it? A major church in this town. Church broke into two, half into two. Service. This not dream management meeting. Service. People were using chairs on one another and blood was flowing. And this is not the first time. I have watched such a thing happen four times. One time it was a church that I started attending at a particular time because I was in Deeper Life, but I went into this city and then that particular church, they hijacked it from the founder. And he left them. But one day I was in the service and fight broke out in the middle of the service and blood was flowing in the service. Eastern Nigeria, what has happened here? What are you talking about? And I managed with my friend to escape that day. It's true, sir. Sunday morning service. Do you know that they took away that church from that man for almost 20 years or thereabout? After they fought and almost killed themselves, finally, they went back to him after how many years to beg him, come and collect back your church. Right now, he's back. He's now the father of that church. After how many years? It's a number of years. The ones that collected from back, can't you see what is going on? Who has had rest? Who has had rest? Matthew chapter 18, I want to end it here. When tomorrow you hear the course on conflict resolution, you will know how to deal with these things. Because you are in politics, you're going to meet it. You are in family, you're going to meet it. You are in business, you will meet it. You are in church, you will meet it. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. Moreover, if your brother, I will show you the condition under which you can fight your brother now. I said, number one, if it's your father's battle, I will not sit around my younger brother who can slap my father. I will give him, even now as a pastor, I will give him the TBT. I used to be in the Kala Club. I will pull it out. But I'm joking. It doesn't mean you will use physical. There are means. That's why It's Michael's job to take care of this man. Verse 15, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hear thee, thou shalt gain your brother. Because you are weaker when you lose your brother. The greatest resource on this part of the world, this part of the planet, or this part of the galaxy or universe, as if you might know God, the Holy Spirit is what? Is human resource. It's human resource. Value it more than any other thing. Once you have this value system in place, you will see that that money for which you are about to kill a human being will pay. For equipment, One time, the fight was over. I think it was over a boss, evangelism boss. And they were ready to kill him and destroy the name of Jesus Christ in this, in a city. It will pale, it will take. You have gained your brother. So the first principle is that you go and talk with him. You don't go and start broadcasting it on TV or start attacking or whatever. Second principle, verse 16, if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And this one or two more is not unbelievers. Take another. That's why if it's a marriage, you know, like I and Pastor Sarah have it as one of the covenants, nothing can ever come up that we have to carry now. Go and start calling families. With which mouth will I call my father or extended family to come and sit down to be discussing my wife? I would rather suffer the injustice, suffer whatever it is that do it. You go and call her own people. You say, in-laws, oh, hey. No, but let's assume that there is actually something that is getting out of hand and two of us have tried and it's not working. Then we need to get two or three other people. Maybe more matured in the faith, maybe ministers to come and talk to us. And I don't mean you go and get your friends so they can come and take side with you, because you want objectivity. You actually want the truth. You want someone who can talk to two of you. Because your purpose, your intention is not to win. It's not to win. No. You don't win when you win. I've shown you that in this kind of battle. It's a win-win thing. What you actually want is reconciliation. So these two people become impartial and they help save their marriage. Like, you know, take care of whatever it is. And they are mature people in the things of God. Never take a problem to anybody who cannot do something about it. Stop gossiping about things. Don't go to a mechanic and say, I have boys under my MP. That's not his calling. Take a car to him. He can heal a car. Take this type of thing to a qualified. He's called a doctor. Like I found out that, you know, like last time we were here, these are some of the problems that was brought to me. If you're a pastor now, for example, you are having a marriage problem with your spouse, you don't go and find a young sister in church and you're telling her, I'm not getting sexual satisfaction in this marriage. You know, can you imagine I've been starving for the past 3 years? Guess what? She will start pitying you. Oh, pastor. Oh, you know. And sometimes you take sweet hug, you are on your way to an affair. That thing will finally accumulate in. So when I say take two or three, whatever, you will not take the case, especially if it's the opposite sex or a woman, you take the case to your boss in the office. Hey, you are looking cute, man. You are just arriving. Executive secretary. So can you imagine? This is what I face every day. Nobody appreciates me in the house. Nobody has ever even. It's only cook, wash clothes, dude. He said, don't worry. You're a blessing, you're a gift. Then tomorrow you will have a little disagreement. You come here and tell, can you imagine what happened yesterday night when I came back from work? Just because I came back by 9:30. And then we started quarreling. Look at what he told me. See who we are telling. Somebody that is not born again, probably you're supposed to be rich. Or maybe he's even in the faith, but he's a younger person that you're supposed to be modeling Christianity for. That's how a case degenerates, and you wonder how people who are supposed to be what are in a terrible mess. Some terrible boundaries were violated. Hear this as I conclude. He said, if you will not hear these two people, verse 17, if you neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. And when he said to the church, he's not saying come out on pulpit and start talking to them. He's talking about leadership of the church. He's talking about the leadership. If there is need now, maybe the situation is the type that requires open communication. Maybe he has broken that relationship. It has to be made known to the gospel. But he said, tell it to the church. If he neglects to hear the church, let him be to thee as a hidden man and as a publican. Let me tell you the implication of this. You can fight him now like you fight the Philistines. That restraint that you have before, that he's your brother, you can keep it aside. If it's a case that even requires taking him to court, you can take him there. Because there are issues that also happen that are legal issues. Fighting like that, and God will be on your side. You follow the two process. Remember, two or three witnesses. That's how you establish issue before God. Amen. Do you know that even in the natural, that there are war crimes? That if you fight dirty, you might win, but after they'll come after you like Charleston. That there are laws that govern how people fight. Am I correct? So take note of that. The guy broke your heart. You know, and take it up and maybe destroy a whole church just because of one tiny thing. It's not about us. It's about him. It's about his kingdom. And it's about others too. What is at stake is bigger than you. Don't destroy the work of God. Don't destroy what God, a whole society, because of just your personal interest. Let's learn to put self, instead of over exalting self over God, his purpose, let's learn to put it where it belongs. Father, we thank you. Thank you. Teach us your ways, that we might know you, that we might find favor in your sight. That's the prayer of Moses, and that's our prayer today. Show us your glory. Teach us your ways. Unveil to us not just your nature, but your functionalities. Let us imbibe. Help us to imbibe. Internalize the values of your kingdom. And to begin to function by the same principles by which you function. I'm convinced, and I know, and history has proven it, and experiences have proven it every day, that then we will make our way successful and we will have good success irrespective of whatever we are doing in life, whether it's ministry, whether it is business, whether it is government or any other type of organization. We thank you for it. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Have you been impacted by this message? Please share your experience with Pastor David Ogweli. Email address dominionimagemedia@yahoo.com or call 01792-6879, 0803-435-7959, 0803-590-9900.